Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Hi, thank you, Katie Couric, and welcome to show number 581 of Nostalgia Radio Time. This week we've got a really big show, as Ed Sullivan would say. We've got the one and only Carol Burnett joining us again. You may remember last year we had Carol on and she talked about her association with Bing Crosby. Well, this week, if you know your Jack Benny trivia, February 14th, Valentine's Day, was Jack Benny's birthday. And this weekend, the International Jack Benny Fan Club is holding their virtual convention online. And I was delighted and honored that she agreed to talk with me again, this time about her appearances with Jack Benny. So that's what's on tap for this week. Without further ado, let me welcome the legendary Carol Burnett back to Nostalgia Radio Time.
Oh, thank you so much. I was really, I just adored him. He was very special and very sweet to me.
What are some of your earliest memories of Jack? Did you listen to his radio program each Sunday evening as a young girl?
Yes, my grandmother and I used to listen to Jack's show. And more recently, when I'm in the car, if I'm I put the radio on and I hear Jack's show again. And I must say, it holds up. Some of the other shows that I used to listen to with my grandmother in the 40s and 50s, you hear them today, they're not as funny as you thought they were. But Jack's show, actually, it holds up. It's absolutely as fresh and funny today as it was when he first recorded it.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and it's interesting to compare Jack's program with that of Fred Allen, whose program was equally as popular as Jack's. But listening to Fred today, it just doesn't hold up as well as Jack's program, and I often wondered if it was because Fred's program was a little bit more topical. His humor was more of the time than on Jack's program.
Yeah, that's a part of it, too. That's true. But even though I still say there might be some that aren't topical, but they're just not as funny.
Right.
You know, as they were back then, you know, to people. Yeah, but Jack's, as I said, I'm repeating myself, his show holds up today.
Yes, it does. And his show really gave birth to the ensemble cast of characters with Don Wilson, Phil Harris, Mary, Dennis Day, and of course, Rochester.
Well, yes, and he wasn't afraid to share. You know, that's the mark of a really good showman, was that he wanted his team to score, you know, everybody. He would play straight man to Dennis Day, you know.
That's right.
And that's the way it should be. I remember I learned that from working with Gary Moore. He would share. And I used to watch the Sid Caesar show. And Sid would let Howie Morris and Carl Reiner, you know, shine. And and that's what I did with my show. Many times I would play straight man to Tim Conway. Or Harvey, or, you know, we even though my name was on the, you know, the Carol Burnett show, it was an ensemble piece. And right. I learned that way, 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 way back. And I realized that even, you know, back then, as you said, that's the way Jack Benny was. And that just made his show better.
Did you ever meet some of the cast from Jack's radio show in later years, like Phil Harris or Mary or Dennis Day?
No, I never did. I never did. Just Jack. And I remember I did his show a couple of times.
Right.
It was in 1962. And he was, at the time, 67 years old. Yeah, 66, 67 years old. And Yeah, that's what I remember. But he didn't seem that old at all.
Right. He didn't seem 39, but he certainly didn't seem 67 either, right?
Not at all. I think I told you when we were doing it, we did a sketch where it was Tarzan and Jane.
Yes.
And it was, they'd been married for 20 years, and so he'd just gone right to pot. So Jack was in this awful Tarzan outfit. It was very funny. And he wanted the character as Tarzan. He wanted to play ball with these huge boulders that were, you know, they were fake, but they looked like they were heavy boulders back in the prehistoric time. So as Jane, you know, I threw the boulder to him, and Jack caught it and fell backwards into some prop bushes that they had on the set, you know, that looked like a jungle. And we had an audience. There was an audience, a studio audience, and I looked, and he had cut himself on his hand on one of those bushes, those fake bushes, and the blood was streaming down his arm. And he did not stop. He continued with the sketch. He kind of wiped the blood away on his loincloth or whatever it was, and kept on going with the sketch. And he didn't tend to the cut on his hand until after the sketch was over. He didn't want to stop the momentum that we had with the studio audience.
That's incredible. I don't think you'd find that today on the set of any show. I think if somebody got a paper cut, they'd probably be off to see the medic.
I don't think so, no. But
no.
I think it's on YouTube, and if the you know, your the audience, if you tune into YouTube and you see the Tarzan sketch, look for that when he gets out from behind under those bushes, because he's kind of hiding his arm, his hand.
You can see when he gets up, you can see him looking down at his thumb.
You've seen it.
I just watched it last night. Yes.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing.
So it's safe to say that Jack firmly believed in the old show business adage, the show must go on.
That's right. That's how I felt with my show. We never stopped, you know, unless the scenery fell down and knocked us in the head. We kept going. And even though there might be mistakes, I just like the idea of having it be live. And the studio audience was very important to me, to keep them happy and not sitting around waiting for us to take our time to change scenery or costumes or anything like that. Because if they got bored, they didn't give us the response that we need. You know, so I just wanted to do it like a Broadway show as much as possible and just keep going, you know.
And I suspect Jack's show was set up in a similar vein as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he had a studio audience, and it was great because we would do the show and we'd be out of there in an hour. Now, today, I've done guest shots on sitcoms that are 22 minutes of show, right?
Right.
At times, they go like 4 or 5 hours to take. This is insane. It's not necessary. It's like they're trying to make a movie or something. And the studio audience gets bored. And so sometimes they leave halfway through. And then they bring another fresh audience in to watch the second half of the 22 minutes. It's just, it's not show business. Let me put it that way. You might as well not have a studio audience.
Exactly.
I've seen them where they deliver pizza to the audience keep them happy.
Bribing them with food, yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, stay, please. Here's a slice of pizza.
Oh, that's funny. I know you mentioned to me previously when you were growing up that you and your grandmother would spend a lot of time at the movie theater. Do you recall seeing any of Jack's films back in the 40s? Well, the infamous Horn Blows at Midnight, or the To Be or Not to Be with Carol Lombard?
I don't remember seeing him that much as a kid. My grandmother, she would go for Jeanette McDonald and Nelson Eddy.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, something like that. And no, I didn't see To Be or Not to Be until I was an adult, you know.
Right.
And I thought he was wonderful. That was a very funny movie.
It was. It still holds up well today.
Yeah, but I didn't. He wasn't in my thoughts, you know, when I would go to see the movies. It wasn't that Jack Benny was a movie star.
Right.
He was a radio star, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we know how you first became aware of who Jack was, but I'm wondering if you know how Jack first learned of who you were, perhaps from the Gary Moore Show?
It was the Gary Moore Show, yeah. And
okay.
So I was on hiatus, and he called my agent and said, yeah, we'd love to have Carol on the show. I said, absolutely. I mean, to work with Jack. You know, it was so funny because I would think, if my grandmother had been alive, she would have just been in heaven knowing that I was working with Jack Benny.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was quite a thing to grow up watching him. And then actually he became a friend, you know, and, he was so nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was nothing aloof about him or conceited or anything like that. He loved to laugh.
He was a great laugher, yes.
He was a good audience, you know.
Right.
If you do something that was funny, he was the first person to slap his knee, you know, go, damn, that's funny.
So, so that was really the first time you met Jack, was when you did his show in 62.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Well, having heard and read some interviews that Jack's radio writers did over the years, they all seem to say that Jack was very adamant that once the script was set and they were doing the show, that he didn't like to have a lot of ad-libs going on that he didn't know about, that he liked to stick right to the written word. Is that kind of how you found Jack to be when you worked with him? Was he kind of a stickler for sticking right to the script?
No, it wasn't. Not that I ad-libbed. You know, but I
right.
didn't feel that, I didn't feel constricted or anything in any way where he might say up front, now we've got to stick to the script. That never occurred to me.
Oh, good.
I mean, he never did that when I was around. Yeah, I was lucky with my writers. They, we would ad lib and do stuff constantly, you know, and our
sure.
writers would say, look, if you can make it funnier, be our guest. They weren't married to the script, which I was very grateful for.
That's a great way to do it, yes. Well, after Jack introduced you on that first show, you asked if you could do a little number that you worked out with his orchestra, which turned out to be the stripper of all things. And was
right.
that your idea to do that? Or?
Yeah. Well, I had done the stripper before on a special that I did where I was the charwoman.
Okay.
You know, who had... was coming in after hours to a burlesque house to clean up the stage, you know, and mop the stage and so forth. And then
mm-hmm.
she imagines that she hears the stripper, and so she does a mock strip tease pretending that she was Gypsy Rose Lee. So that's how that came about. And then Jack had seen that, and then he thought, well, that'd be fun, you know, to do with the Tarzan yell. So, and that's how that happened.
It works out great because it's sort of a running gag throughout the whole show, even into the Tarzan sketch
right.
you wound up doing it.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And Jack stops and he says, Carol, he says, there's women and children watching. And you said, well, this will keep the fathers watching too.
God, I forgot that. Right, yeah.
From Hollywood. The Jack Benny Program. With Jack's special guest, Carol Burnett.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our show. Now, usually, right here in this spot, I do a monologue. You know, I tell jokes, see? But tonight, I have as my guest star someone who is so expensive, I mean so talented. I didn't mean that. That I have to bring her out right away, you know, because I want her to be all through the show here. And she, she's really one of the most dynamic and versatile comedians in show business, Miss Carol Burnett. Now, listen to that. Isn't that something? Hey. Now we're 3 minutes too long. Carol, I just want to tell you that I feel highly complimented having you as a guest on my show.
Thank you very much, Jack.
And I don't know of anyone who has made such a rapid rise as a comedian in show business as you have.
Oh, thank you, Jack. I really am very appreciative of the way my comedy has been accepted. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now I feel it's time for a change. Oh, don't get me wrong, I enjoy getting the laughs, but I feel the need to express a more deep and creative urge within me. So, with your permission, I would like to do a number I've worked out with your orchestra now, if that's all right.
That's fine with me. Sure, certainly, go right ahead, thank you.
Mr. Merrick, if you please.
I mean, what are you doing? There are women and children watching our show.
Yeah, but this will keep the fathers watching, too.
Wait a minute, Carol. Now, control yourself, because there are some questions I want to ask you that I'm sure our audience, certain things they'd like to know about you.
Like what?
Well, like, for instance, what are your plans for the future?
I'm going to do some spectaculars, and I hope to do a motion picture. And I'm also planning to go back to Las Vegas and work there.
Oh, you are going back to Las Vegas?
I don't know what hotel yet.
You don't? Well, I imagine with you now it'll be probably the best one on the Strip.
Get out of control.
I'm not worried about your control. Or about yours either. Mine I'm worried.
Yeah. And that was, you actually sang a lovely song after that. You did Judy Garland's The Trolley Song, which was...
Right.
Must have been a favorite of yours.
It was. And she was. It was an homage to Judy. I mean,
sure.
Nobody could sing it like she could, though.
No.
Now, I know you have a lovely singing voice, and everybody knows. So how about singing a song for us now?
I'd love to.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Carol Burnett will now sing the Trolley Song.
With my high starch collar and my high top shoes and my hair piled high upon my head, I went to lose a jolly the trolley and lost my heart instead. With his light brown derby and his bright green tie, he was quite the handsomest of men. I started to yen, so I counted to ten, then I counted to ten again. Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. For the moment I saw him, I fell. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brake. Bump, bump, bump went my heartstrings. When he smiled, I could feel the car shake. He tipped his hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath. I couldn't speak, he because he scared me half to death. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer. Plop, plop, plop went the wheel. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. As he started to leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, he stayed on with me, and it was grand just to stand with his hand holding mine to the end of the line. He tipped his hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath. I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer. Plop, plop, plop went the wheel. Stop, stop, stop went my heartstrings. As he started to leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, he stayed on. It was grand just to stand with his hand holding mine to the end of the line.
But getting back to the Tarzan sketch, that must have been one of the first times, if not the first time, that you did your famous Tarzan yell on television.
Right, it was one of the first times. The first time I ever did it was on Gary's show.
Okay.
I did it, yeah. But no, but I did do it on Jack's show also.
Yourself and get on down there. It's hard to believe that's King of the Jungle.
Hey.
Yeah, I just, you know, from thinking over and out, I slipped my mind. I'll think about it.
Well, you made a return appearance on Jack's TV show the following year in 1963, and it wasn't terribly common for Jack to have the same guests on more than once on his weekly series, at least in the 60s. I just looking down the list of some of the people he had on, so that in itself is a good indication that he was obviously quite fond of you.
He was, and well, we were fond of each other, definitely, yeah. Yeah, he was, yeah. And I was thrilled to be asked to be back. That was a gambling, the boat.
The riverboat, yes.
Yeah, the riverboat, yeah.
Don Wilson played your father and ends up with
right.
Jack shooting both you and Don at the same time.
Right.
What are some of your memories of working with Don Wilson? He was certainly someone who was right there from practically the beginning with Jack on radio and all the way through television all those years.
Just wonderful. I mean, it was a family. He had a family, and everybody was loose, you know. No, nobody was uptight. Nobody was nervous or
right.
anything. It was just, yeah, let's get in the sandbox and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it was.
And unfortunately, on neither of the shows that you were on with Jack, the great Eddie Rochester Anderson didn't appear, which is a shame. Did you ever get to meet him?
No, I didn't. That was my that was one thing that I was sorry about, that I did not get to meet him, because he was so funny, too.
Mm-hmm.
They all knew how to do it, you know.
Oh, they certainly did. And in looking through the staggeringly long list of legendary names and guest stars that appeared on your weekly series over the years, I didn't see Jack's name on there, unless I missed it. Did Jack ever appear on your show?
No, I think, when did Jack pass away?
1974, almost 50 years ago.
Oh, wow. No, we didn't have him. I think he was kind of retired or something. I don't think he was going to do He was going to do Sunshine Boys.
That's right, yeah.
And then he died, and so they got George Burns.
Mm-hmm. Do you yeah. remember how you learned of Jack's passing?
Well, just with everybody else. I think it was on television.
Right.
I saw it, yeah.
It was right after Christmas.
Yeah. What a dear. What a dear man.
Well, before I let you go, Carol, I have to ask, and I know if you're involved with it, it's not something you divulge too much about, but I heard there's a group of fans, I think on Facebook, who are petitioning to have you host an episode of Saturday Night Live. Are you aware of this, and is that something that you're trying to work out?
No, no.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. Because they did the same thing with Betty White, and I think when she appeared because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really have no interest.
Okay. No, that's
yeah.
Good to know, because there was some buzz about that for a while. I thought, well,
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
No, this is very nice, very sweet, but I'm happy where I am.
Well, that's the main thing. That's great to hear.
Right.
And I want to thank you again, Carol, for being so generous with your time and for being
great.
A guest on our Jack Benny virtual convention. I'd just like to ask you if there's anything you'd like to say in closing to Jack's family and friends and family that are gathered here today.
Well, just that, I guess I'm one of his biggest fans still to this day. And, again, I'm just grateful that I got to work with him and I got to know him and that we got to be friends.
And I think that says it best.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you again, Carol. We're honored to have you. I'm also glad to have had this time together with you.
Thank you. Yeah, have a good one. Okay.
You too. Care. Thank you again, Carol.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Greg. Bye.
Time now for Old Time Radio Time. It's here in the show where we give a listen to a complete radio broadcast from radio's golden age. This week, we're tuning into the Jack Benny program, appropriately. This one goes back to April 6, 1952.
Program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, the warm weather is here, so let's go out to Jack Benny's house where we find Jack and Rochester cleaning out the swimming pool.
Well, all the water's out of the pool now, boys.
Good. Gosh, this pool sure can get dirty in a few months.
Maybe it would keep cleaner if it had a tile bottom.
Well, I...
Or even a cement bottom.
Well,
in fact, any kind of a bottom would be better than just plain mud.
Well, I would cement it, but I'm growing rice in the shallow end. Now, Rochester, when we finish cleaning the pool, I want to transplant some tulips in front of the house.
Tulips? Why?
Well, Queen Juliana of the Netherlands is going to be in town soon. She'll be staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel, which is just a couple of blocks from here, and she may drop in, you know.
Oh, then you met Queen Juliana when you were in Holland.
Well, no, Rochester. You see, the day before I arrived in Amsterdam, the Queen had gone to Rotterdam, you see. But her husband, Prince Bernhard, he's a wonderful fellow.
Oh, then you met Prince Bernhard.
Well, no. You see, I went from Amsterdam to Rotterdam. But when I got to Rotterdam, I found out that they had gone back to Amsterdam.
You'd have done better if you'd have gone to Boulderdam.
I guess so. Now, come on, let's start cleaning the pool. Rochester, go over to the other end, and we'll... Oh, look at that frog over there in the corner. Isn't he cute?
Yeah, he's sure big, too.
Rochester, help me catch him. Oh, he'd make a cute pet. I'd like to keep him.
Anything that's green, you like to save.
Hurry, he's hopping away. Rochester, where'd he go? Where is he?
He jumped up on your head, boss.
On my head? Well, get him off. Get him off, quick.
Hold still, I'll get him.
Hello, Jack. What's all the excitement?
Rochester, get him off.
Boss, Miss Livingston's here. Tip your frog.
Oh, hello, Mary. Oh, darn it. He got away. And I wanted to keep him.
Oh, Jack, you've already got a turtle, a lizard, a garter snake, two crickets, and a caterpillar. What do you want all those things for?
Well, Mary, it's no fun coming home at night to an empty house, you know.
That reminds me of the first time we met.
Huh?
when you leaned over and whispered in my ear, "Come up to my apartment, honey, and I'll show you my insects."
I was a sly one, wasn't I? Say, Mary, how do you like the way I'm fixing up my backyard?
Oh, it looks fine.
And you know, as soon as the pool is filled, I want you to come over and swim every day.
Oh, I'd like to, Jack, but I'm putting all my money into savings bonds.
Now, wait a minute, Mary. I only charge for the upkeep.
Upkeep? You charge 10 cents for the locker, 15 cents for a bathing suit, and a quarter for the use of the pool.
Well, I don't charge anything for the shower.
No, but the price of towels is ridiculous.
Rochester.
Well, Rochester's right. You charge for everything. 5 cents for a sun chair, 7 cents for a beach umbrella, 10 cents for water wings.
Mary.
You even got a meter on the diving board.
Look, Mary. What are you laughing at?
You've got the only swimming pool that's listed on the New York Stock Exchange.
Stock exchange.
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Dennis.
Oh, hiya, kid.
Oh, boy, cleaning out your swimming pool. Are you going to fill it, Mr. Benny?
Well, I really wasn't planning to for another week or so.
Gee, I wish you'd fill it now.
Well...
Go ahead, Jack. Fill it up.
Okay. Rochester, turn the water on.
Oh, boy, hot diggity.
Now, Dennis, here's a key to the locker. Go in and put on some trunks.
Oh, I'm not going swimming.
Why do you want me to fill the pool?
I'm thirsty.
Look, kid, I'm not filling the pool for you to drink. If you want to go swimming, that's different.
Well, I'd like to, Mr. Benny, but I can't swim.
Well, you can go wading.
And up to your neck, it's only 15 cents.
Yeah, I lose a fortune on Gary Cooper. Oh, say, Mary, I knew I had something to tell you.
What?
You know the song I wrote, "When You Say I Beg Your Pardon and I'll Come Back to You"?
Yeah.
Well, Snooky Lanson, the star of the Lucky Strike Hit Parade, is going to sing it tonight on This Is Show Business.
No kidding.
That's right.
No wonder President Truman isn't going to run again.
Dennis, what's my song got to do with President Truman?
They would have blamed that on him, too.
Dennis, instead of being sarcastic about my song, let me hear the one you're going to do on the program.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hold on.
Hey, you over there, just harvest the rice. Don't eat it. Go ahead, Dennis. Sing, will you? That was very good, Dennis. Now, if you want to stick around, you can help me fix up
the... kids.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Well, well, clean out the old pool, huh? Getting ready to open for business, eh, Jackson?
Yep. Say, Phil, would you like your job back again as lifeguard?
Not after what happened last year when that fella nearly drowned.
What happened, Phil?
Before I could save him, I had to buy a ticket to get in the pool.
Well, Phil, I can't afford to pay you a lifeguard salary. Rochester, what are you doing?
I'm testing the diving board.
Well, good, good. And when you're through with that, you can...
Hey, Jackson, come over here a minute, will you? I got something I want to discuss with you.
With me?
Yeah.
Well, look, Jack, I've got a dentist appointment. I better be running along.
Wait a second, Mary. I'll just see what Phil wants.
Oh, all right.
What's on your mind, Phil?
Well, it's about Bagby, my piano player.
What about him?
He's leaving my orchestra.
No. Bagby's quitting your band? Why?
He's going back to his old job.
His old job? What was that?
Professor of psychology at Heidelberg.
Phil, you mean to stand there with that bottle in your hand and tell me that Bagby, your piano player, used to be a professor of psychology?
Are you kidding? He's got one of the most brilliant minds in the country. You ought to see his degrees. He's got his A.B., M.A., L.L.B., Ph.D., and his S.Q.C.T.F.
S.Q.C.T.F., what's that?
San Quentin, class of 34.
Phil...
He was voted the alumnus most likely to come back.
Phil...
For a while, we thought he was going to graduate magna cum gas chamber.
Well, Phil, what are you worried about? You can get somebody to replace Bagby.
Yeah, but that ain't what bothers me, Jackson. It's his piano, and he's going to take it with him.
Well, for heaven's sake, can't you get another piano?
Not one that makes ice cubes.
Ice cubes?
When you press the foot pedals, you get draft beer.
I wondered why that piano said Stein instead of Steinway. Well, Phil...
Jack, I've got to be going. I'll be late for the dentist.
Wait a minute, Mary. I'll go with you. I haven't had my teeth cleaned in a long time.
Okay.
Phil, I'll discuss this with you later.
Okay, Jackson. So long.
So long. Come on, Mary. Let's go.
I'm not going anywhere with you. It'll take that frog off your head.
Is he still there? Get off. Get off. Okay, Mary. Let's go.
Hey, Mr. Benny, was that a frog on your head?
Yes.
Gee, I thought your toupee was winking at me.
Well, it wasn't. Come on, Mary, let's go. Mary, which office is your dentist in?
Oh, he's way down at the end of the... Say, Jack, isn't that Don Wilson coming out of that office?
Why, yes, and he's got the quartet with him. Hey, Don! Don?
Well, hello, Jack. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Don.
I didn't expect to see you here.
I took the sportsman to see my dentist.
Oh, yes. Hello, fellas. Don, what's the matter with them?
They all had to have a tooth pulled.
Don, the four of them had to have a tooth pulled at the same time?
That's right.
I've never seen a quartet like that in my life. They all have colds at the same time. They have headaches at the same time. Measles at the same time?
Yeah, now they're going home. It's their children's birthday.
How do you like that? Each one had a tooth pulled, huh?
Yes, Jack, and in that condition, I don't think they'll be able to do the commercial on the show.
Well, why not?
Well, look at Marty's jaw. It's all swollen, and he sings the lead.
But, Don, we have to have a commercial.
I know, Jack, but with Marty's jaw swollen, people won't be able to tell what he's singing about.
Well, let him try it and find out. Go ahead, fellas. Let me hear it now.
Anytime you're feeling lonely, anytime you're feeling blue,
that's the time. Collider Lucky, you'll enjoy your lucky strike a stroll.
Anytime you feel like smoking, here's the one we know you will like.
So any time at all, in summer, spring, or fall,
that's the time to light a lucky strike.
Any time you light a lucky, you'll enjoy it, that is true. Lucky strike is better tasting, no loose ends.
It is pretty bad, Don.
Lucky strike means fine tobacco. Lucky strike is the one you will like.
Ask any old cowhand to name his favorite brand. That's the time you light a lucky strike.
1 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Quarter to three. It's always LSMFC.
9, 10, anytime you like. It's time to light a lucky strike.
Well, Don, that didn't sound so bad. Maybe Marty will feel better by the time they have to do it on the show.
Well, I hope so. Goodbye, kids.
Goodbye. Bye.
Jack, my dentist's office is down at the end of the hall.
Oh, yes. I hope he can take me, too. While I'm getting mine cleaned, it wouldn't hurt me to have them checked for cavities.
Well, here we are.
May I help you people?
Yes, nurse. I have an appointment with Dr. Foster. I'm Mary Livingston.
Oh, yes. You're just in time. Go right in the first office on your left.
Thank you.
Miss, while I'm here, I want to find out about my teeth.
Yes, sir. When did you leave them?
No, I'd like Dr. Foster to examine them.
Well, Dr. Foster has no appointments open. However, Dr. Nelson has a cancellation. I'm sure he can take you.
Well, good, good.
I'll have to get some information first. Your name?
Jack Benny.
Occupation?
A violinist.
Oh. Yes, I heard one of your concerts last summer.
Oh, from the stage of the Philharmonic?
No, from the diving board of your swimming pool. Now, your age, please.
Well, how old would you guess me to be?
28?
No. I'm a little older than that. Guess again.
61.
For your information, miss, I happen to be 39.
Oh.
Yes, oh.
Well, you'll have to wait a few minutes. Dr. Nelson is busy. You can sit right there and wait.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, excuse me.
Hi, Rube.
Oh, hello. I haven't seen you for a long time.
Well, I don't get to town much anymore.
Oh, are you still living in Calabasas?
No, couldn't stand the nightlife, so I moved to a smaller place.
You live in a smaller place than Calabasas? How big is it?
Well, when four kids play Ring Around the Rosie, they circle the town.
Well, that's really a small town, isn't it?
You ain't kidding, Rube.
What?
They had to widen the street to put the white line down the middle.
Hey, that's pretty good.
By the way, I saw your last television show. You make a good-looking woman.
Well, thanks, but I don't intend to dress like that again.
You ought to. You ain't nothing the way you are.
Look, mister, I only sat down here...
Dr. Nelson will see you now, Mr. Benny.
Thank you.
So long, Rube.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Right through that door, Mr. Benny.
Thank you. Oh, doctor.
How do you do?
Ha, ha, ha. Look, doctor, I'd like to have...
Don't tell me you have a toothache.
No, no, I don't have a toothache at all. I only want...
Just sit down and leave the rest to me.
But, doctor, all I want is... Doctor? Doctor, why are you strapping me in this chair?
Well, the last time I pulled a tooth, I yanked too hard and threw the patient out the window.
Oh, my goodness, did the tooth come out?
All of them. He hit a fire plug.
Now, look, doctor, I don't need an extraction. All I want you to do is examine my teeth.
Yeah, very well, very well. Open your mouth, please. Wider. Wider, so I can look way back. Yeah. That's fine. I can see everything now. Your teeth look fine.
Good.
But you better do something about that appendix.
Appendix?
And now just hold still and I'll complete the examination.
Excuse me, doctor.
Oh, yes, nurse?
J. Howard McGrath is here from Washington.
Oh, to have his teeth cleaned?
No, sharpened. He wants to bite someone.
Well, I'm busy right now. And, nurse, send in my technician. I have to make an X-ray.
Yes, doctor.
Hey, now, Mr. Benny, before my technician comes in, I just want to make one final check. Open your mouth.
Doctor. Doctor, why are you spinning my pivot tooth?
I used to be a disc jockey.
A disc jockey?
And now I'd like to dedicate this next tooth for Billy, Mervin, Manny, Jesse, and all the boys at Hickey's Bar, and happy birthday to Jeanette.
Now cut that out. Look, I just came here for...
Are you set for me, doctor?
Yes, I have a patient here who requires an X-ray.
Oh, very well. You operate the camera and I'll swing the chair around so you'll get a good picture.
Is that the technician? He looks like a frog I met this morning.
Well, he's my X-ray man, and he's made some very good dental pictures. Perhaps you've seen them. They played all the neighborhood theaters.
Dental pictures?
Yes. Sorry, Wrong Molar.
What?
David and Bicuspid.
Look, doctor.
And the latest one with Montgomery Clift, A Space in the Gum.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Look, doctor, I haven't got all day. If your man is going to take this X-ray, let him take it.
I'm going to take the picture. He's going to direct it.
Direct it?
Yeah. Now, tilt your head back, Mr. Benny, and on cue, open your mouth, raise your tongue, press it over toward your right cheek, smile.
Look at what's going on here.
Lights, camera, roll them.
Doctor!
Don't move. We're trying for an Academy Award.
Look, all I wanted was a simple examination.
I have the picture, doctor. I'll have it developed in a minute.
Hey, good. Hey, Mr. Benny, while we're waiting, just sit back and relax.
Thank goodness.
Come in.
Should I sing now, doctor?
Yes, Miss Burner.
Sing? Doctor, what is this?
Our floor show. We can't afford magazines.
What? A floor show?
When your sweetheart just sends a letter of good mind.
What is this, anyway?
It's no secret, you'll feel better if you cry.
Doctor, who needs a floor show?
When waking.
Look, Miss Burner. Miss Burner. The frog sounded better before.
It's real.
Miss Burner, wait a minute. Look, wait a minute, Miss Burner. Wait a minute. Wait a minute! Oh, brother.
What did you stop me for?
Miss, do you happen to know when you say I beg your pardon and I'll come back to you?
No.
Good, good.
Well, here are the results of the X-ray, doctor.
Hey, let me see. Oh, yes, a wonderful picture.
Doctor, what does it show?
Just a moment, just a moment. According to this X-ray, you have an abscess.
An abscess?
Yes, it's sort of a pocket.
Gee.
It's nothing to be alarmed about. Finding a little pocket under a tooth is very common. Although yours is unusual.
Why?
It has money in it.
Look, doctor, if you think I'm going to stay in this chair...
Now, settle down. It'll only take a minute. Oh, nurse.
Yes?
Grab the patient by the hair and hold his head back.
Yes, doctor. Whoops.
Well, then grab him by the ear.
Doctor, I only came here for an examination,
well,
that's
doctor,
all.
Doctor, I want to have a word with you.
Yeah, excuse me. Really? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Hey, then you'd better help me. Nurse, hand me my forceps.
Forceps.
Novocaine.
Novocaine.
Needle.
Needle.
Swabs.
Swabs.
Burrs.
Burrs.
Straight chisel.
Straight chisel.
Drill.
Drill.
Coat.
Coat.
Hat.
Hat.
Suitcase.
Suitcase.
Doctor. Doctor, what are you doing?
Our lease is up. We're moving.
What?
Come on, nurse.
Doctor. Doctor, let me out of this chair. Dr. Nelson. Dr. Nelson, don't leave me alone.
When your sweetheart sends a letter,
doctor, come back.
Goodbye.
At least give me some Novocaine. Doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen, the very best Easter gift of all is the support you give through Easter Seals to children who need your help. These seals provide medical care, nursery centers, and many other things that are needed. So give and give generously to the Easter Seal Agency in your community, or send your contribution to Crippled Children, care of your local post office. Thank you. We'll be back in just a moment. But first,
do you toot da toot da toot da? Do you toot da toot da? Be happy, go lucky, get better taste today.
Friends, you can tear and compare and see with your own eyes how Luckies are made better to taste better. From a newly opened pack, take a cigarette made by any other manufacturer. Carefully tear a thin strip of paper straight down the seam from end to end and gently remove the tobacco. In tearing, be sure not to loosen or dig into the tobacco. Now, do exactly the same with a Lucky Strike. Then compare. You'll see some cigarettes are so loosely packed they fall apart. Others have air spaces, hot spots that burn harsh and dry. But you won't find that in a Lucky. Look at that perfect cylinder of fine, mild tobacco, so free of annoying loose ends that spoil the taste. Notice those long strands of fresh, clean, good-tasting tobacco, so firmly packed to smoke smooth and even, giving you a milder, better-tasting cigarette. Yes, friends, tear and compare. Prove to yourself that Luckies are made better to taste better. Then make your next carton Lucky Strike.
Bung, 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 be happy, go Lucky Strike today.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Mary.
How'd things go at the dentist?
What a crazy dentist. I came in, he says, how do you do? He has a crazy x-ray man. He has a girl singing songs in the office. He makes movies.
Well, if it's that bad, why don't you change dentists?
No, I think I'll just change writers. Good night, folks.
Program is brought to you by Lucky Strike, product of the American Tobacco Company, America's leading manufacturer of cigarettes. This is Don Wilson reminding you to listen to Your Hit Parade with Guy Lombardo every Thursday night, presented by Lucky Strike. Consult your newspaper for time and station. The Jack Benny program has been selected as one of the programs to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Stay tuned for the Amos and Andy Show, which follows immediately. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Go, Joe, go!
And that'll get it for this week's edition of Nostalgia Radio Time. My thanks once again go out to Carla Burnett for being so kind and so generous and so helpful to me with agreeing to appear on this program. It's just amazing to me that a legend of her stature would want to be on a little bitty program like this. So my thanks again to all of you for listening, and hope you'll be with me again next week when once again I'd creak open the door to the old archives and pick out some more memories from the greatest generation. Feel free to email me with your comments about the program, any song requests you'd like to make, or any old-time radio shows you'd like to feature. send them to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And while you're online, love to have you be a part of our social media outlets on Facebook and Twitter. And if you happen to have an interest in antique radios looking to acquire a set, well, get in touch with me. I've got many great antique radios, fully restored, now many with Bluetooth capability. And all of them are available for purchase at www.radioaddict.com/Van Beek. That's all one word, V-N-B, two E's and a K. So until we meet again next week, I'm Greg Van Beek saying so long for now.